prayer counseling in the afternoon, and then come out over here. I go to preaching and the meeting don't seem like it has the right kind of something. I don't see the vision so plainly because it's two different anointings. One of them you're taking in, the other you're giving out. See? One of them has your preaching, your job, feel wonderful and happy. The other you just get weeping. One, as you drawing from God, see, what you desire, and the other is God giving through His Word to you, see. One is the vision, and the other is preaching the Word. Now, for just a little text that God might give us the context, it's in St. Mark. Let's take it from St. Mark, the 9th chapter, and read, let's say one verse for the 7th. Let's take the 23rd verse. And Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. That was our song. Now that takes all the doubt away from it, doesn't it? And if it be thy will, he said, all things are possible to him that believeth. Not whether it's your will or not, it is his will. If you've got faith, for all things is freely given to you, our Lord Jesus, who died to fall, Christ brought to the church by his righteousness and his sacrifice, and now we have the earnest of our complete deliverance. A man some time ago was talking to me, and he said, Brother Webb, I don't see how that you can sanely place divine healing in the atonement. I said, I'll place every redemptive blessing in the atonement. Everything. Now, Jesus didn't bleed twice, or he didn't die twice, but divine healing and every blessing that you have beat up was made to you in one atonement. Right? You can't deal with sin without dealing with sickness, and when you preach the gospel of salvation for those who believe, for their soul, you have to include divine healing, because sickness is an attribute of sin. Before we had any sin, we had no sickness. Sickness comes as a result of sin, so you can't deal with sin without healing the sickness. You just can't do it. Now, this fellow said, Brother Branham, if I'll prove to you by the gospel, Charles Fuller, this singer, cowboy singer, just converted by two fine songs, if you think of his name, back on, Stuart Hamlin, we had all that pictures taken in the place, and they just left town, so I come in, and he said, well, why don't you get your picture taken? So then as we got the manager and them away, those who were smart, had education, he knew that I didn't have any education, so he thought he'd just jump on you to go see. So he said, I want to ask, he said to the manager, he said, I want to take a couple more poses with Brother Van. I'll guarantee you I have, he said, when I took about 25 minutes of time for him to be in study and prayer for a night service. He said, I promise you, Brother Van, that I'll have him. All right. So he went away. So then went away, he said, one place now I have to go. So you're all loaded. So he said, do you apply what divine healing in the atonement? I said, yes, sir, I do. And he was just out of seminary, smart as all get out. And he said, well, if you apply what divine healing in the atonement, Brother Branham, you're wrong. I said, I don't think so. And he said, well, if divine healing was in the atonement, as sin was included in the atonement part, that we would have no pain. But if it was in divine healing was in the atonement, pain would be took away, for the atonement killed the very effects of sin. I thought, I want to ask you something, brother. Is there temptation? Yeah. Sure. You're sure. It's your faith that overrides it. Sir, your faith is what does and answers. So he said, well, how? Isaiah said that God's mercy is put it to you by the Bible, and you're stepping out.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says so, then that's right. You say, well, in Matthew 8, the Bible says that they brought to Jesus all those that were sick and afflicted, that might be fulfilled, which is spoken of the prophet Isaiah, who got our friends. I said, you see that out there? It was fulfilled right there. Here we go. I said, well, brother, that was a year and 6 months before the atonement was ever made. That was before Jesus was ever died on the cross. There was no atonement at that time. Then according to your logic, then the atonement had more effect before it was made than it had this time. And it's become the atonement. So then he went to use some great words, seeing that my education was limited. And I said, I haven't got the gift of interpretation yet. I said, you just speak the plain old language to me, and we'll talk about it. And he went on, and he said, well, this is at home and so forth. I said, I want to ask you something, brother. Do you believe that divine healing is in the Word? That's what came to my ear. And over Mark 11:24. He said, whatsoever is saying when you pray, believe that you receive it, you shall have them, no matter what it is. I said, if Jesus places in the Word, divine meaning in the Word. He said, yes, he mentioned whatsoever saying, that's right. I said, then if you put in the Word's ahead of the atonement. Oh, he said, resist it, son of man. He said, no, sir. So that's sacrilegious. I said, oh, no, it isn't sacrilegious. I said, He's got to keep his word. And he said, well, I've got to tell you something. One time there's a king had a great kingdom, all his domain. He made the rules and regulations, the penalties and so forth. And when he did, he had a certain sin when it was committed. The penalty was death. And every man that did this sin had to die for it. And one day a slave committed this penalty. He had to die. He brought it up before the king, and the king said, I'm a man of honor. I keep my word. And you have committed, according to my rulership and my kingdom, and be a righteous man to keep my word. My word says here that there is no atonement for that sin. You have to die. And the only thing I can do is take your life. And the poor fellow said, began to shake, and he said, now wait a minute. That's good enough. He said, what can I do for you before I take your life? He said, the slave that was under the penalty of death said, I want a glass of water. And so the king said, give him a glass of water. And when he got it, the poor fellow said, and had him take it off, and he shaking and said, hold it. And the king said, wait a minute, straighten up. I'm not going to take your life unless you drink that water. And he threw it on the ground. That's not what he's going to do. Now he's a man of honor. He has to keep his word, and his atonement says that his word says there is no penalty or no redemption for this sin. And yet the king has spoken and said that he won't kill him until he drinks the water that's in prostrate and throws it on the ground. I said, well, he said, that was a slip up on the king. I said, that's right. You think God made a slip up? Not included in his atonement when he put it in his word. I said, oh, brother, that's better than that. Well, they have a shadow of sickness and starve to death. I said, that will never work. No, sir. God put in his word, and it's for those who believe. Only believers. All things are possible to those that believe.
That's right.
Yeah. So we now have faith in us.
Yeah.
And I want you to know this at the beginning, that healing does apply a lot to the person praying for you. That's right. But not all together. It's your faith also. You got to have faith. Watch it, this little words that we're fixing to speak. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Now there's a lot of difference besides having faith in the mind and having it in the heart. The heart is a different mental faculties altogether than what's in the head. They tried to know that just about 2 years ago. You know that? The Bible said that the man thinketh in his heart. The sign said, how long that is. Said there's no mental faculties in your heart. It's in your head, your mind. You can't think with your heart, you want to think with your mind. 2 years ago, I was standing on the streets of Chicago, when they had a great big piece of paper about like that. My verse is one of them that signs are found in the human heart, not in the animal. In the human heart, a little compartment that doesn't even have a blood cell, and they say it's the heart of the soul. The soul rests in the heart. Oh, my. See, God's always right. Everybody comes to us. Everybody needs to once in a while. So when God says that the sun runs, and the sign says it stands still, that's where I was taught to school. Now over in California, the big observatory there, they say they were wrong now. They scientifically proved they're wrong. The sun runs also. Oh, there you are. Science has to say things, take it back, say things, and take it back. But brother, here's one book that you can read and it'll never be cut back. God's eternal word, you can rest your soul upon it. No matter whether you can explain it or not, I believe it anyhow. God said more than that said. You can just be that simple in your faith, then God will go to work for you. Yes, sir. He's obligated to his word. He says, all things are possible to them that believe. All things. Whatsoever things when you desire. Believe that you receive them. You shall have them. They'll be given to you if you just believe them. That's God's requirement. And faith is what takes the move on. Now, this was a classic here, and a very outstanding case that we ought to look into and give some consideration for a few moments. A strange thing, just a few days before that, Jesus had called these same men together and had given them power to heal all kinds of diseases, to cast out all kinds of evil spirits, and to cure leprosy, and to raise up the dead. And he sent them forth, and they went out doing it, and returned back rejoicing. But when Jesus took a trip and went up on top of the hill, up on the mountain, we find these disciples down in the valley, firmly completed, defeated on an epileptic case. They couldn't handle that evil spirit. Now, someone said not long ago, if you had the power to heal the sick, like the disciples have. Now, these people don't believe that we receive the Holy Spirit like they did at the beginning, but they've just come for the Scripture and don't know the Holy Spirit. God promised that so, and if people had asked not so much theology jumped into their head, then they just believe God and receive it, that's all. I had a fellow who was in a debate. He was holding the book. He said, there is no such a thing as God. There is no such a thing as God. Just doing that, a little silly looking boy sat back there with hair hanging down his eyes, overall jacket on, come walking up one tooth out in front. Stood in front of the infidel and he said, start peeling an apple. He said, well, what do you want? So I just want to ask you a question. He said, well, Lazarus. Well, when? To catch you an apple? Put the core out of it. He said, well, Sam, hurry up and say what you're going to do. I hate to throw it out. Well, just a minute. You heal the apple, cut the feet, put it in the mouth. You chew on it and fart it. So I want to ask you a question. Is this apple sweet or sour? And if they'll say, I'm not eating it, I don't know if that's what I thought. Walk out of that and say, how do you know where the Holy Ghost or not? Until you receive it. How do you know Jesus healed or not? Until you receive it. But no man can say Jesus is the Christ, only fire of the Holy Ghost. No matter how much you read out of the Bible, that won't work. The Holy Ghost has got the witnesses to you, his resurrection, your life. Are you going to worship the other time? The boy that tastes and sees the Lord is good. You know it before he tastes it. See, the taste is old. The old saying is the proof of the pudding is the eating thereof. So that's good. So this infidel was defeated in this case. Now, these disciples were defeated because of their unbelief. Jesus had gone up on the mountain, and you know what? I'm kind of glad that they were defeated right then. Because that just brings everything else for me. When we see times say, oh, yeah, I've seen Jones as pray for, I've seen this as pray for, everybody else then. Sure. The child was prayed for by disciples who had power to heal. Jesus Christ gave us power to do it. And they were defeated. Certainly, it had nothing to do with it. Jesus was up on the mountain, And when the first of he come out of where the drama, the scene, here was all the pastors out. And I was always questioning, I thought he'd give you power to do it. Let's see, you know it now, there it is. And the disciples are praying and casting out the devil, trying to. The kids just going out on the epilepsy. But I was told that the thing ever is some kind of a trick. Days of miracles is past, and years of made a man, the father of the child. Maybe went out and got his pastor. The pastor, what do you think about these disciples of this fellow called Jesus of Nazareth is going around here casting out devils, he said. Oh, it's a telepathy. There's nothing to it. Where's the Pharisee Jones wrote all about it, you know? Okay, we're having an association meeting in a few days. And if you bring your kid up, my other disciples is going to be around here, so we can take them over and challenge them to do it. Sir, now that's just the devil the way he works. Do step before me and let me see it. I had a man not long ago that challenged me on the radio. First thing, he'd give $1,000 to anybody that could prove that they were healed without healing. I saw two doctors looking at four people. Well, just these steps to the right over in Texas where we got. So what we want to do is take a knife and cut a little kid's arm, and you hold the world together, and let us see you heal it, and then we'll believe you. I said, you need healing in the head. And I said, there's something wrong with you. You're not mentally right, man. Certainly, any man wants you to cover up a baby's arm, hold it down and heal it before him. Well, certainly, no one sensible. That's even beyond the answer of intelligence. Right. Sure is. Now, what about this woman? I hear a good tender doctor that said she had cancer and now she's well. There's a doctor's statement. I want $1,000 for a missionary bill. He wouldn't get it, could he? Certainly not. Oh, it's just the brother boy, you said, like the Irish was out. All the stuff and bedrooms go out. That's just about the way it goes, too, on those things. Now, just simple, kind of hide behind some kind of a church doctrine. You could have come out and said, you ain't got no faith. Say, you don't receive the Holy Ghost, you ain't got nothing to give you faith. Because God has got the faith, and this is yours, this is yours. Filled with God, you're filled with faith. If you're a son of God, you're like God. He just speaks the word, he creates itself. His word is the creating power. How the world come here? He made it, I think, but what about? He just said, let there be, and here it is. Right. He brings his own word. Right. And this church, if you're sitting over tonight, is just the creative power of Almighty God. The creative word. That church is the word of God made manifest. Right. Amen. That's right. Yes, sir. The very church that you're sitting up on tonight, there is the word of God. Amen. That post standing there is the Word of God made manifest. I'm here tonight because the Word of God made manifest. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, my. Doesn't that just give the devil a back out? Oh, it sure does. It's the truth. It's the Word. Now, there they were. And he said, now when they all come out there, you bring your child out, we'll see how much power these disciples have got. Well, they got them all excited, you know. And here they were standing around, the association standing out their hands behind, there you are, kids no better than what he was. Hurry up, hurry up. What could you do anything with such stuff as that hanging around?
Amen.
Yes, there it was. So the disciples were all trying to cast him away. All they had the power, now Jesus said they had. Christ gave them the individual the power to do it. And they had done it before, but said, let me see you do it now. Let me see you do it. Now let me say what's in your mind forever. When you hear anybody saying that, know it is the devil taking through that place.
Yes.
Let me show you this on the word. The first time that the devil met Jesus Christ, he doubted. Doubt always is on the devil. Yeah. That's where the first sin comes. There is no other sin but doubt. Unbelief is the original and only sin. Committing adultery is not a sin. Smoking cigarettes is not a sin. Getting drunk is not a sin. That's the attribute of unbelief. Amen. You talk about people say, brother Dan, you say he tells us down, believe on the Lord Jesus, he say that's what God said.
I'll take that up and make out like you believe, but really believe this terrible whole thing.
Right.
Faith. Notice, in the Garden of Eden, the very first original sin was because Eve doubted the Word of God. And when Satan met Jesus, and one lit off the plant of Eve, the woman's seed, he used the same technique he did on Eve. First thing is, I had a life. And the next thing he said, if thou see the Son of God, you'll never forget before me.
Yeah.
Let me see you do something, America. Now, you are the person to say that, you know who's talking to that person? The devil. Right? He said, let me see you do a miracle. Now, before me, so I can see it. Let me see you turn these stones into bread.
Yeah.
Eat yourself. For then, I'll believe in the Son of God. Jesus turned that back to the Father's word. He could have done something else. But the brain, God's blessing to the weakest of believers, you can take. You have to have gifts. You have to have faith in God's word. Jesus never used any of his gifts, any of his power. He used the Father's word. He turned around and said, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone.
That's right.
But by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God.
That's right. Amen.
When he was a prophesier, we know he saw visions. He could tell what was wrong with the people, tell them what the secret of their heart was and so forth, that these signs would follow on to the end of the world. They put a rag around his face when they some soldiers. And they hit him on the head with a stick. And said, now you prophesy, the devil. What would hit him? Said, if you prophesy, you tell us who hit you and we'll read it. Tell us who hit the rag around your eyes. Jesus never opened his mouth. With that word. The Jews up on the front when had Jesus on the cross said, now, if thou be the Son of God, perform a miracle before us. Put your hands loose and come down, and we'll bring you Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Jesus don't listen to the devil. Never said a word. See? So you see somebody say, let me see you perform a miracle. Remember, it's the devil. When he come into his own country, they said, now we see, heard about you healing over that country, we heard about you healing over that. Let's see you do something here among us. Let us see it. And Jesus marveled at their unbelief. And many mighty works he could not do.
That's right.
That's your faith too. Because of why? The lack of his power? The lack of God's will? The lack of faith, unbelief. Because of your unbelief, he could not do it. Here the disciples being defeated. And right in the midst of it, the sea, down the mountain come the most worthy person that ever walked on the earth. The Lord Jesus, the Son of God.
That's right.
The old meek grass, under that great anointing, when he was taken into a vision there and foresaw Peter, James, and John, foresaw the coming out of the Lord. Foresaw the order, how that Elijah and Moses would come first, then Jesus would come. They saw him, then the first coming, Elijah and Moses, then turned back and saw Jesus on him. When he comes and acted in the millennium. Notice, in this, the first thing you know, some of my ears, Pharisee Jones, and say, well, there comes this guy, this is the chief man of all of them. He's the one who started all this here movement. So we go over and see what he's got to say. So when the disciples saw the Lord coming, they know he can do it. So they come all firing. And when they all gathered around, where was that? What did Jesus say? He walked over to that bunch of Pharisees with their collar turned around. Oh, you poor dishwater preacher. What's he going to question you on that judgment?
Amen.
You'll stand the same way before him. So what are you questioning about? What's all the fuss about? Why are you questioning these, my children? Oh, my, I can see him look around on them. And one spoke up, said, sir, I see he's just an ordinary man yesterday. Said, sir, I brought my child to your disciples, that he has a foul spirit. He's dumb, crosses the mouth, falls into fire and water.
Yeah.
And said, I brought him to your disciples to cure him. And they couldn't do nothing about it. And see, Pharisee Jones, the pastor. Yeah? Couldn't do nothing about it. So how do I bring him to you? And the disciples just cast him out. So I'll bring him to you. If you can do anything about it. If you can do anything about it. If You get it? If, oh my, if you can, do something about it now. Jesus stood and looked around. They're waiting here. And when they brought the child up, now the devil showed off. That's the way the devil does. He likes to show off. Yes. He throws his chin in the worst city he ever had. He fell out on the ground, but he tried to scare Jesus. When he fell on the ground again, the frothing before the disciples, they got a little scared. But you're not going to scare him, brother. The devil throws his chin into a real spasm. He fell on the ground and tired of and frothing and rolling around on the ground and having a just throwing a child in the worst he had. Well, he knows his time of the man. Jesus looked at the child, he said, the father said, how long has he been this way? In front of you. All said he falls to the fire and everything. And when he got the attention, how did the cross draw on you? Oh my. There's a valley, there's a mountain. Last down on the mountain where God came down overshadowing.
Yeah, yeah.
Said, this is my beloved son, hear me him. And here he is standing there now. The mountain, the Father had been with him. The dove was on the lamb. The dove was still on the lamb, and he knew it.
Yes.
What's he trying to do? He just got through saying before that. Very, very, I say to you, the Father can do, the Son can do nothing except he sees the Father do it. Is that right? Thank John 5:19, I see Jesus. I do nothing except the Father shows me the vision what to do. Thank John 5:19. I don't do nothing. Disciples are defeated. The Father is standing over the hospital. Why? Well, I know he's not going to do it. Because if he don't do it, if these disciples couldn't do it, then he can't do it. I begin to believe with you, Pastor, that this is just a bunch of faith, a bunch of work, a bunch of a mental or telepathy or something. That's all it is. Begin to think that in his heart. See how unbelievable that's your hope? Oh, I don't care how many times it fails. He's still God to you. If I pray for 500 people now and all 500 of them die in the morning, the Lord, he's just the same here as he was tonight. That has nothing to do with it. Oh, God said so, that says it to me. Word said so. Look at Elijah. When he went out of the old prophet, the devil was on him. So he came in and called all the priests out there and Elijah cut their heads off 400 of them that afternoon. Walked over, sat down on the mountain, sat down with a place of rain, 3 years of rain. And he put his head down between his old bony knees and he prayed, said, oh God, send the rain. He said, go look up top of the hill and see if any clouds back on the sea. And he said, well, that's not a sign. Oh my. How unbelievable to talk that. But he's still gone. Yeah. Oh, Lord God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yes. Hey, David, go back. Well, I just got through coming out. Go back again. Yeah. Look again. Look like grass. No sign of rain. Hold still. Tuck your head down again. Oh, Lord God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it's rain. Go back up again. Go whatever. 7 times he went up. Every one of the eights that come down and told him, I feel a little bit of cloud hanging out there about like a man's hand. How quick an unbeliever said, if that's all you can do for me, if that's all you can help me, well, I won't take it. But Elijah had something in his bones that was God's time. Well, I went to the meeting last night. I had a headache, been sick for a week or 2 months. I felt better. But I'm altogether well. I had a crippled hand. I could move my fingers, but I all over it. How quick unbelief goes to work right there. Oh, I could see a little bit of this blind, but I could see a little bit, but maybe if I tried hard enough, I could have done it beforehand. Oh, you poor, I don't know what I call you. You're excused as a Christian. That's right. Elijah didn't do that. When Elijah had the first little bitty sign, he raised up and said, hallelujah, so what? Rock the rain bell, get up and lay high here in this town, let the abundance of rain. I can wiggle that thing out. Hallelujah! Get the curtains out from under me. Here I come. Doctor, I'll pay you my bill off. I don't need any more. Thank you, doctor, for all you've done, but it won't keep your service anymore. Get up and pound the abundance of rain. Yes, sir. She's coming down the rain pipe right now. And I'm going to say, right, stop. Get every bit of it. Oh, he was ready. How quick under the impact of the hole. And perhaps the Father, that's the reason, said, if thou can. If thou can do anything for us. All right. Now, Jesus walked over to him to get a conversation. I could hear the woman at the well. But how long does the child live that way? Boy, said something to you. One time looking into their eyes, something come over. Then he said, have compassion on him. When he once looked in the face of Jesus, he could tell that wasn't no mental telepathy. He could tell that there was something about that person that no one else had. And any man or woman, if everyone looks the cross in the face, there's been an old cross hanging on my windshield out there. I don't know how many said to me, Brother Graham, that looks like a Catholic cross. When did a Catholic ever have the option on the cross? When did a cross ever come an inward of Catholic faith? Cross is an inward of Christian faith, not Catholic.
That's right.
Lost it. But why do you have a ring there? Some fellow right with me, coming down to Sellersburg. Trying to carry me up. They like to do that somehow. I don't mind it. As long as you don't carry him. So I said, what do you mean? I said, you know what? Every time that I turn my head up here in this country when summertime comes, there's a naked woman standing in the yard on the street or somewhere, I look at the cross.
Amen.
I said, look at that.
Amen.
Never said no more. I said, now I see what I was redeemed. In there, I see his Christ I was healed. Once I was blind, I had no eyes for to look with. Now, I promised him to heal me, I look at the right thing. Yeah. I know that's the right thing to look at. I look at Calvary. It's a memorial to me that my Lord died, he healed me. And there on that cross, where he forgave my sin, there on that cross, where he took all my weariness away from me, on that cross, he healed me with his stripes. Yeah. I said, I look at that. Turn my head, look at the cross. All right. Depends on what you're looking at. That has a whole lot to do with it. Look at the cross one time. See how much difference. Now, when this man looked in the face of the Lord Jesus, he was anointed. He was the anointed God. Here he was standing there, the anointed man, God in the man. And when he did, there was something caught the man. Look over here. He said, have compassion on us. Now he's going to lie down.
Yeah, that's right.
He's coming on the ground of pleading mercy.
That's right.
He's coming to the mercy seat.
Yes.
That's the only way you'll ever get anywhere from God is come to the mercy seat.
That's right. Amen.
Not judgment.
Right.
Not upon self, but upon the mercies of God. Now he's on the ground for healing. You go against it. He's placed it on Jesus now. What? No more sir. Now he says something different. If Jesus then places it right back on him, he says, all canst thou believe? Can you turn Pastor Rabbi Jones in over here? Can you cast all this doubt away from you? Canst thou now believe? And the Father looked him in the face. Tears running down his cheeks. Something had struck him. A change had come in his heart that very moment. And he said, Lord, I believe you. Forgive me so many words. Forgive me for my unbelief. All this time I've tried to believe the Pharisees. I've doubted when the disciples failed. Forgive me, Lord, for my unbelief.
Yeah.
And with tears rolling down, the Spirit of God is coming heart. He said, Lord, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
Forgive me of my unbelief, for the Bible says to help thou my unbelief. But forgive
right.
My unbelief. There he stands. What is it? I was a few moments ago, you were, sir, if thou can. But when Jesus caught his attention, he wasn't, sir, capital L-O-R-D. What happened? When he come to the mercy seat, he found mercy.
That's right.
Hallelujah. I know you think I'm crazy. Maybe I am. Let me know, Lord. I'm happy this way. If thou can,
Pastor, I'll see you a good night.
Give thou ten.
And he looked at him. But how long have you been this way? I said, 20 years. He said, and have mercy on him. The mercy seat. Impound forgiveness. Ask forgiveness. And repent it. And now, Lord, I believe. Forgive me, my Lord.
That's right.
Lord.